the speaker for this morning. I know him as my cousin-in-law, the person who stole my wonderful cousin Karen over there and married her and took the time to reach out to me and was my ever-patient dorm dad during a senior camp that I believe we both should forget. And, you know, he really shows all the fruits of the Spirit and is a great role model for both youth and youth leaders like me. He's also the new youth pastor in Beloit and our brand new Section 3 rep. So without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, give a great big Madison welcome to Reverend Rick Bailey.
Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this house this morning. Hallelujah. If it wasn't for the Lord, amen, I don't know where I'd be this morning if it wasn't for the mercy and the love of Jesus Christ. Man, I'm glad that when I was a sinner, Christ died for me. Amen. And that he loved me so much that he gave his life. Amen. That I could have salvation. And he did the same for each and every one of you. Amen. It's good to be here with you this morning. And my wife and I are very honored to be here at Extreme Days today. There's so many friends that are here today that we see in the congregation, and we greet you. Amen. We give honor to your pastor. Amen. Brother John Grant, just a giant in the United Pentecostal Church, and a man that the young ministers look up to and respect highly. Amen. I've had an opportunity to be in some meetings with him and glean wisdom. Amen. Every time he opens his mouth, he just gives a whole lot of wisdom. Amen. And so we honor him today. Amen. Your youth pastor. Amen. And pastor of student ministries as well. And bless them this morning. I'm aware of the time, so I'd like to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in our Bibles this morning. We're going to take a look at the Word of the Lord. Amen. I believe that we have a generation of young people that are called of God to stand out. Amen. The theme this weekend is Stand Out, and tonight you'll have a great speaker that'll be here with you, our youth president for the state of Wisconsin, Brother Tim Vick, and he'll be continuing to minister in the vein of standing out. But I want you to know that God has equipped each and every one of us to stand out for him. And he has equipped us to do great exploits and great things for him and the kingdom of God. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, should shine unto them. Amen. Let's pray right now. Jesus, we thank you right now for your word. Lord, we thank you for what we have experienced here in this house today. God, we pray that your Spirit would move in this place. God, that the Word of God, as it goes forth, would touch us, that it would impact our lives and allow us to change for the better. Lord, we pray today that you would equip us to stand out, to do great things for you and for your kingdom. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated this morning. The whole subject of blindness is a very important subject in the Bible. And all throughout Scripture, blindness is a spiritual metaphor. It represents the spiritual inability to see God's truth. A man in the physical that is physically blind cannot see what you or I can see here today. They cannot walk outside and see the beauty of the trees and the green grass and be able to look up in the sky and observe all the things that we are able to observe. And those that are spiritually blind cannot see the revelation like we have had the opportunity to see the revelation of God's love and his truth and his holiness and his forgiveness and his blessings and his eternal life and his grace and joy and peace. As the blind does not perceive the blanket of green grass that covers the earth, the spiritually blind cannot see the grace of God. We find in Scripture, as Jesus is going with his disciples in John, the 9th chapter, Jesus and his disciples are walking, and as they're walking by a bunch of people, the disciples stop and they say to Jesus, they say, "This man here is blind. Who did sin, he or his parents?" They were trying to wrap their mind around why this guy was blind. And Jesus said, "This man is not blind out of any works that his parents had done, and he's not blind out of any reason of what he has done himself, but he has been made blind so the works of God can become made manifest." I'll tell you today that there's a whole world that's out there that's blind, and the works of God want to be made manifest, and God wants to work and open the eyes of blind people. So Jesus is there, and the disciples are standing in this. I perceive in my mind's eye that this blind man is sitting there kind of on the side of the road, and the Bible says that Jesus, he begins to come up with an idea of how this man can receive his sight. And the Bible says that Jesus begins to talk and says that he must work while it is yet day, because when night cometh, no man can work. He said that while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And then what he does just blows my mind after this. The Bible says that he spits into the ground. And as he spits into the ground, the Bible says that he kind of goes down and he kind of plays with that spit and kind of runs his hand around it and mixes that spit with the clay, and he takes that spit, that clay ball that he had just made, and he takes it and he goes over to the blind man and he applies it to the blind man's eyes. Now, I'll tell you, I don't know about you, but to me that is kind of disgusting. You know, if I were to do a visual today, I probably wouldn't have very many volunteers that would say, I would love for you, sir, to put your spit on my eyes, you know. That kind of gross out people, I'm sure, when they saw Jesus doing that. But he put that spit and clay mixture on their eyes and said, on that man's eyes, and said, now what you need to do is you need to go to the pool of Siloam and you need to go wash. And that man was taken to that pool, and he washed. And the Bible says, once he washed, he came back seeing. People said, wait a minute. Is this not the blind man that I've seen day in and day out on my way to work? Is this not the blind man that I felt sorry for and gave some coins and dropped in his tin can? Is this not the guy that I've given some McDonald's gift certificates to help him out a little bit? Is this guy for real? Was this guy really blind? And the Bible says that the blind man began to speak. And he said there was a man named Jesus that came by. And as Jesus walked by, he spit into the ground. And he mixed that spit with the clay. And he put it on my eyes and he told me to go wash. And when I went and washed, I came up out of that water and I was able to see. The Pharisees got wind of this and they made their way over and said, sir, what exactly happened to you? He said there was a man named Jesus walked by this way. Something came out of his mouth and mixed with the clay. And when it did, he put that balm on my eyes and told me to go wash. And when I went and washed, I came out of the water and I could see. Church, I'm telling you this morning, there is a world that is spiritually blind. And there is a word of God that comes out of the mouth of God that mixes with the clay, you and me. And it creates a balm that allows people to go into a water of baptism. And when they come out of that water, they no longer have the scales of darkness on their eyes, but they can now see. And they can see the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you this morning, young people, it's time that we stand out a little bit and say, God's called us. There's a whole group of spiritually blind people in our school that God's called us to say, I'm going to mix my life with the Word of God, and I'm going to live it in front of them so a balm could be applied to their eyes and they can see the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible tells us that you are the light of the world. I'll tell you, in darkness, light stands out. You go into the middle of a dark field and you light a candle or open up your flashlight and turn it on, you see that light stands out in the middle of that darkness. And you are to stand out in the middle of your high schools, in the middle of your middle schools, and you are to be that light that God has called you to be. I tell you, before we started our journey assisting Brother Caskey in Beloit, we had the honor of being the youth pastors in Racine for 7 years under Brother Schumacher, and God did some amazing things. We watched the youth group grow from 12 to almost 100 in just a 7-year period, and God did awesome things because there were some young people that said, I'm not going to be with the crowd, but I'm going to step out, and I'm going to allow my life to reflect Christ, and I am going to allow what I do to reflect what he represents. There was a girl who came to one of our youth services on Wednesday night, and her name was MJ. I don't know who invited MJ. I never was able to figure that out. But MJ came, and as she was there that night, we found out that her dad pastored a church in town. And I pastored a church, and they didn't believe everything that we understand in Scripture. And I'll tell you, but MJ kept coming back week after week after week, and we had the Spirit of God begin to move in one of our services. And MJ began to receive the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. And her mom, for some reason or another, came a little early that night, the pastor's wife from the church across town. And I thought to myself, oh, wow, mom's here, and her daughter just received the Holy Ghost and is still speaking with tongues. And I'm a little nervous about what I'm going to tell her, but I just walked up to her and I said, ma'am, I said, your daughter has just had a supernatural experience. She's received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And I stepped back and waited to see what she was going to say. And what she said just was amazed me. She looked at me and she said, praise God! Moved her leg and everything like that. I was like, serious? She said, God has given us the revelation that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is important. She said, we've been on a 40-day fast in our church. She said, we've been fasting, and God's just filled our daughter with the Holy Ghost. We had the opportunity to meet with them and meet with their church, and one Sunday morning, we baptized that pastor in Jesus' name. He went back and baptized his entire congregation just because someone said, I'll step out. I'll step out of the crowd, and I'll be the one that'll be the friend to MJ so she could be connected and so she could receive the Holy Ghost. Amen. We had another girl come. She was a foreign exchange student, and she was from the country of Jordan. She came, and she was a Muslim girl, very, very nice girl. We really got to enjoy having her around, and we worked with her for a long time. And there were times in service that I thought God was filling her with the Holy Ghost. And after service, I'd say, did you receive the Holy Ghost today? And she'd say, no, I was speaking in Arabic. I'd say, okay. And we would just kind of go on. But there was one night that we watched God fill her with the Holy Ghost, and we were able to baptize her in Jesus' name. And I'll tell you, before she got on that plane to leave to go back to Jordan, she said, when I came to the United States, I believed that Allah was God, but I am leaving knowing that Jesus Christ is God. I'm telling you that God is saying in this hour, in this time when it is short, that we must stand out. We must stand out and make a difference for the kingdom of God. You know, I'll tell you that there is a world that is blind and they need somebody to just come and apply the balm to their eyes so that they can see the light of this glorious gospel. God said to us, I've given you power. He said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come on you. And I'll tell you, each and every one of us in this house have that supernatural power where we can speak with people and they can receive the truth of God. I'll tell you, in that short time that we were youth pastors, we watched as God began to fill people with the Holy Ghost over and over and over again. And we went from a small handful of kids to having 22 high schools and middle schools in that youth group because someone said, I'm going to step out and I am going to make an impact for the kingdom of God. Guidance counselors started showing up. Principals' children started receiving the Holy Ghost. Visitors started pouring in. One week we had all the kids from the swim team show up, and each of them didn't know that they were invited by a different person. When they showed up, they're like, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? I have no idea. And I watched 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. One night as God filled them all with the Holy Ghost. I'll tell you, the power of God is unlimited if we would just submit ourselves to what God wants us to do. Say, I'm going to step out. I'm going to submit myself to the call of God. It is the call of God to go forth and to make disciples, to go forth and bring this gospel. And I'll tell you that there is this city needs salvation. Amen. This church is alive and this church is growing. But what God wants to do is bigger than just this church. God wants to convert entire churches. God wants to have classes baptized. God wants to have school superintendents filled with the Holy Ghost. Guidance counselors filled with the Holy Ghost because of your testimony and because of your ability to show what God has done in your life. You know, people are not just looking for another group to belong to, but they're looking for a church of the living God that's full of fire, that's full of passion, that when they walk in those doors and they step foot, that those chains of addictions can be dropped, that those chains of immorality could be dropped, that broken marriages could be booked out together, that finances could be booked out together. This is a church that God wants to fill, and God wants to use the youth group, and God wants to use the adults to say, I'm going to step out. I don't care what the world says about me, but I'm going to step out and be a tool in the hand of God. I'll tell you, that balm was quite messy. When Jesus mixed with the clay and that spit, he had all kinds of junk on his hand. When he put that balm in that man's eyes, I'll tell you that many that day were kind of wondering what. This guy has finally lost it. We've seen him do some crazy stuff, but he has finally lost it. And Jesus recognized when he did that, that sometimes when you get into the lives of people, that it's going to get a little messy sometimes. But God has called us to make disciples, not just bring somebody in and just leave them to fend for themselves, but to bring them in and make disciples. And sometimes it gets a little messy spending time with them and helping them. But God, it is His purpose for us to get into the lives of people and to help them and to allow them to receive just the same experience that each and every one of us received. Think about the person that helped bring you to the Lord and the time that they spent so you could see the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Light stands out. Light stands out in darkness. And in this very dark hour, God is saying to Teen Extreme, it's time to stand out. It's time to say, I am committed to the gospel. And this next school year, I'm going to do things I've never done before. This next school year, I'm going to go above and beyond like I've never gone beyond before. And I am going to be the best witness I can. And I'm going to allow my life to mix with the Word of God. I'm going to allow my life to reflect the image of Jesus Christ. I'll tell you, church, if we would get behind them and encourage them, I believe that we could see great revival in our high schools, in our middle schools. Amen. You believe that? Clap your hands to the Lord. We went to every school, the 22 of them one year, and we anointed every door of that one door of each school with oil. And we said, God, send revival. And as we did that, we saw high school principals, we saw guidance counselors, we saw students just flooding in from all these different schools. There was one time we were praying at one of the schools, and as we were praying, one of the janitors came to the door. There's probably 10 youth kids, and my wife and I, and we're praying at the door, and the guy comes and says, excuse me, would you like to come in? And we just decided to stay outside. But in my mind, I was thinking, you have no idea how bad we want to get inside these doors, amen, for the gospel to go forth and to be brought to the schools. I don't know how many schools you guys have represented, but I'll tell you what. Here's what you need to do. You need to have your youth pastor. You need to have him pray over a handkerchief. You need to take that handkerchief and throw it in your locker, that the miracle of salvation would show up to your schools. That as those kids walk down the hall, that the Spirit of God would begin to pull on their heartstrings and would begin to allow them to be drawn to you and say, man, there's something different about you. I don't understand it. I'm tired of living the way that I'm living. I'm looking for something new. And God will direct them to you because God's plan is for all that would come to salvation. I'll tell you that He doesn't want any to perish, but He wants all to come to salvation. This morning, I'm here to say that there is a light that shines. And that light, amen, is this youth group and this church. And God wants that light to pierce the darkness. And as you're the light of the world, God wants to allow the eyes of the blind that once could see nothing but darkness to be opened and see the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm wondering this morning if our musicians could begin to come. And this morning's message is not exactly probably a normal Sunday morning message. It's one that I wrestled with as I put together because, you know, Sunday morning we want to talk, feel good about some things. And this isn't typical, but I'll tell you that we need to recommit our lives and say, I am going to I am going to be a tool in the hand of God. I am going to go forward and I am going to take my life and mix it with the Word of God to be that light so that some could go and wash and they can receive salvation. So they can receive what God has for them. Because I'll tell you, in your schools, there are pastors in those schools. They just don't know they're pastors yet. There are missionaries that God's going to call because you won them. There's musicians that are going to play in a couple years on this platform and next Teen Extreme Day because you've won them to the Lord and because you've submitted your life to say, I will be that light and I will go forward and I will do what God has called me to do. Why don't we stand together this morning? I'm asking this morning if you would come and if you would say, God, I want to be a tool in your hand. I want my life to mix with your word and I want to be submitted to your will. And I want my life, God, to be a testimony for you. And I want to win souls. That's just not for our teen extreme, but that's for our adults as well. That God is saying the gospel should no longer be hid. But the light of the glorious gospel should shine. That we can move forward. And that salvation could appear to all men. Would you come this morning?